Welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast, a show brought to you by PureFlicks.com. PureFlicks.com, the faith, family, and fun video streaming service. Get ready for uplifting news, scripture, movie reviews, and interviews with some of your favorite actors, authors, and pastors. Let's get started.
Hey, and welcome to the Pure Flicks Podcast. I'm Billy Hollowell. We have got a jam-packed show for you. Two interviews, two people coming on the show today. David A.R. White is going to be coming on to talk about finding love in quarantine. And I'm also going to be talking with Steve Cleary. He's the founder of iBible. And honestly, this is pretty cool because this is a Bible unlike sort of any other version of the Bible that we've had. Obviously, it's scripture. It's not changing. The meaning is not changing. But this is the world's first visual and interactive Bible. And it's very different, again, from some of the other things we've seen. It uses technology and animation to really bring the Bible to life in a different way. So we're going to talk with Steve today. But, you know, I got to dive into some of these statistics that I've been seeing because there's some crazy stuff going on right now. Obviously, we know there's a lot happening in culture, and when you look at statistics, one of the things that stands out to me is that we're seeing, I guess it's a smaller proportion of people, to put it plainly, who are engaging with the Bible. And so the American Bible Society put out a survey that was conducted in June. They do this survey every year, and it assesses how Americans are interacting with the Bible. And what this survey found is incredibly, I would say, disturbing, and I think we need to address it, and we need to talk about it. I think there's hope, but I want to talk about the tough part first. And that tough reality is that according to this survey, only 9% of Americans, that's 9, okay, not 90, 9% of Americans, less than 1 in 10, are engaging with the Bible every day. And that's down from last year when it was 14%. So we're actually seeing, during COVID, we have seen a decline in people engaging with the Bible on a daily basis. And obviously, that's concerning for a variety of reasons. When we have fewer than 1 in 10 people who wake up in the morning and say, hey, let me crack open a Bible, let me take a read, let me look at what's in it, that's a big problem. And we've got a lot of problems in society. And so as Christians, if we're looking at the solution being Christ, when fewer of us are engaged in the truth of Christ, that is a problem. Now, on the flip side of that, and this is the convicting part for Christians, and you might not be a Christian if you're listening to this, but you might find this interesting, 68% of Americans expressed wanting to be more curious about the Bible, wanting to know more about what's in the scriptures. And that is pretty incredible, that almost 7 in 10 Americans want to know more. But if only 9% of Americans are reading the Bible, how can we be equipped to help the majority of people who do want to actually know more about what's in the scriptures? So I wanted to throw that out there. I think it's important. Listen, life has been crazy. It's been busy. We've talked about this on the podcast, the chaos of life during COVID. And I know a lot of people are experiencing challenges and time is precious, but we want to make sure we're engaging with our faith. And so one way that you can do that, and one helpful way, is to head over every day. I mean, in the mornings, head over to Pure Flicks Insider. That's our blog. It's over at insider.pureflicks.com, and you'll find all sorts of content. We actually have a story about some of the statistics that I just mentioned. We have news, prayer and faith stories, movies and TV, lifestyle, education, and so much more. And we have Bible verse lists. Like, you can go on there and you can find inspiration. We've got a story right now about who Matthew the Apostle was. Get a chance to kind of dive deeper into him and what his background was. We have a story about King David and lament. We've got Bible verses about love and marriage. So there's no shortage of this sort of content. We've got some prayers that you could say, you know, just some guides for how to pray for back to school. So no shortage of content there. Now, I also want to mention to you guys something pretty cool, that the Pure Flicks Podcast has joined the Edify Podcast Network. That's E-D-I-F-I. We are over there on Edify. You can find that app on your Android, on your Apple, in your Apple Store. And on the app, the cool thing about Edify, it's a Christian app that only has faith-based podcasts, and it's filled with them. And you can listen to your favorite podcast. Maybe you already listened to some Christian podcasts. They're very likely already accessible through that app. So check out Edify, E-D-I-F-I, and you'll find Pure Flicks on there as well, the Pure Flicks Podcast. Now, with no further ado, I want to bring on Steve, and I want you to hear his heart for iBible. It's pretty incredible. This is Steve Cleary, so let's welcome him to the show right now. Well, Steve, thanks for coming down today.
That's my pleasure.
All right, so I just got a little preview of this really amazing app, iBible. Now, there are Bible apps out there, and they're really interesting, right, because you get to engage with them, but iBible is very different.
Well, that's the first thing I want to say is there are great Bible apps out there, and there are great Bible stories. I mean, the church has done an amazing job providing resources. What makes us different is what I really believe God called me to do was to create a biblical narrative. So no one's ever said, okay, let's start in Genesis. Let's connect every single event together all the way to Revelation, because that really reveals, right, God's redemptive plan for mankind. That's our story. That's God's story. And so iBible is an animated visual Bible that's interactive and is going to reveal the entire biblical narrative, really, for the first time in history.
And what's interesting about it is so many Christians, I think, we want to avoid the Old Testament because it's too hard to read. You know, you hear these things, or it's like, oh, you know, but you can't understand the entire narrative. It's an essential part. It's not just this thing you can push to the side. Yes, it's great. The New Testament tells us the story of Christ and the gospel, but it's intricately tied to the Old. So the fact that you're approaching it that way, I think, is really fascinating.
Well, it is. And you know, I've written critically, which I shouldn't, I guess, of Christian leaders that have said, don't worry about the Old Testament. You know, let's just focus on Christ and focus on the New Testament. And I've written some critical stuff. But you know, when I started working on the scripts for the iBible, and I'm starting in Genesis, and I'm like, you know what? This is hard to understand, because we have to write a script that accurately reflects. I need to know if it's morning. I need to know what date it is. I need to know who the characters are. And by creating a visual representation of the scripture, you really have to understand the events, the facts of the events. And I'm like, this is hard. And I started appreciating the people that said it's hard, but we want to make it easy. We want to take that scripture, bring it to life. And you know, it works. I mean, I watch it and I'm going, okay, now it makes sense to me. I understand Jacob and Laban and the spotted sheep and the speckled goats, and it all starts to make sense when you bring
streamline
it to life.
You streamline it, you bring it to life. The animation part of it's interesting, because one of the things, you know, the YouVersion Bible app has that little kids app, right? And the kids app is animated. And looking at it with my kids, I was like, wow, this is really actually effective in its own right of helping understand those little stories. It's not what you're doing, but for kids. And then when I had a chance to see what you were just showing me, to think about that as a narrative with the resources that you're also attaching to it, I think can be a really powerful instructional tool for everybody, right? Any Christian who wants to understand better. So talk a little bit about how it works. You have the animation, you have the story, which can be told in any language, which I think is incredible. Let's talk about that first.
That's a big conversation. So just let's look at the numbers. Okay, there are 7,000 living languages today. Only 3,500 of those are written. The Bible, the complete Bible, only appears in 700. So while those 700 make up, you know, 80%, 70, 80, 90% of the world, we are not reaching every people group. With the scripture, we're only 10% to every language. So what we do in our app is any translator anywhere in the world can actually take our app and type over their own language into all the scripts. They can take the audio portion, open up our translator, and they can let members of their own church or community read the parts, the narration, the characters. And so we allow an open source translation as long as the person is qualified. Qualified means we vetted them. They have a secondary person that's going to check their work. And by doing that, we have a goal of reaching every single language by 2030, all 7,000 living languages. Wow. We get people coming to us that say, we know a group of 200 people that speak a dialect that's nobody else speaks in the world. I mean, what are we going to do, right? We're going to translate the entire scripture? No, we're not. It's going to take decades and $1 million. We can give ours for free, and with just a single smartphone and a microphone that's on the smartphone, they can translate the iBible for those 200 people. We can hit every single language for the first time.
Wow. And so, and what you're doing, how are you telling the stories? How do you distill these complicated stories into a form that makes them digestible?
We take the scripture literally verse by verse by verse, and we lay out. First of all, we highlight what's any clues on emotion, any clues on time of day, Who are the characters in the scene? And so consider us a journalist, right? So a good journalist, not like some today. And we, please, a good journalist.
You pause and you're like, wait, let me think. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna get in trouble if I say I'm like a journalist.
What a journalist is supposed to be.
All right, say I'm a theologian, but I'm not. I'm a researcher. And so we look for clues, right? And so it's a different way of approaching the scripture. Because if it's, say, the next morning, okay, now I know a day has gone by, the sun is rising. And it's very important because from scripture to scripture, years can go by, days can go by, or moments can go by. And then we look for clues. Was somebody angry? Was somebody, you know, how is this all playing out? We get the facts of the story. And then we take the facts of the story and we create the timeline. And we say, okay, now how do we position people to make it interesting to watch? And we try to simplify it. So some people say, you know, who are you to write a biblical narrative? You know, how many theologians, what denomination, what doctrine, what scripture are you using? And what I always say to them is read a script. And every time they read a script, they go, this is just a simple scripture in a very approachable format. And I said, exactly. So we create the facts, then we create the drama within the confines of the facts. And then we put it out to a lot of people. And we allow 30 days of feedback. We pray. And then we sketch everything out and we say, does it make sense? Because our animation is, you know, unfortunately your listeners can't see, but it's a book. It's not a movie. So every page of the book is animated, but it's all 1 minute snippets. So 1 minute has to make sense and have clarity for the user. And it's really, really fun doing that because I go to my wife all the time and I'm like, did you know this happened?
Right.
And you know, I've been a Christian a long time and I've done the Bible through the year, many years, and I didn't know this stuff
right?
I'm discovering.
Right. Exactly. How much work goes into the animation part of it? I would imagine that's a tough piece.
We create a sketch, we create storyboards, just like Disney would do. I guess, like, I don't know. Is it even dangerous to compare myself to Disney?
No,
these days?
Go for it. Go, you can do it. I'll allow it.
All right. And so we take the sketches and then it goes to the animators, and then we have an artist create, like, what's the concept art? What do the characters look like? I mean, you think we have to create every single character of Scripture. Hundreds and hundreds of characters.
It's a huge undertaking.
And so we have 18 animators that we've spent 2 years training them. And some are Christian, some are not, you know, and they know they're working on a Christian project. But they will say, well, I think this would look cooler if we did this. And I'm like, you can't do that, you know, because we're holding to a narrative. And it's taken us 2 years to really work with the team of animators, this 18 of them, and then they take the what we call an ink and they start colorizing. And we do color studies. And it's really fun because if it's a happy scene, we use bright, vivid colors. If it's a difficult scene, we start darkening. What's the time of day? And so we have a lot of fun. Actually, if you were interviewing our animators, they would not say we have a lot of fun.
We're working very hard.
Yeah, they would say, why does he keep changing things? But we don't change things because...
You want it to be right.
Yeah, so it's not a director saying, I think the camera should be over here. It's like, is this representing the story of Scripture? And I can't do it 100% pure. I don't claim to be able to do that. But, you know, no one's ever done it. So I hope by us doing it, other people say, well, I want to contribute to that narrative. And we've had even people to say, you know, this isn't really what happened. It was really this. And we have Jewish scholars that we, on the Old Testament, that we consult with. And actually, they give us the best feedback. They really understand the Tanakh better than anybody. And so this is really a community effort. So I start writing the scripts. Am I qualified? No, I'm not qualified. I wasn't qualified. I'm not qualified to do any of this, you know.
Well, it's amazing what God is doing through it. Now, where can people find more information on the project?
They can go to our website, and our website is i.bible. So don't think .com.
Oh, that's really easy.
It's i.bible.
i.bible.
In this little video, I do a 7-minute demonstration of the app, and you can watch that, and you can see how the app works. We're going to release our first version at the end of this year, and it's free. And so free to the world. And that's something God put on my heart. You know, when I first was like, hey, can I invest in this?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you can have 100% of the proceeds, brother. So I've done film and I've done film investments. And this is just, you know, this is actually easier. I did Pilgrim's Progress. So you and I have talked about that a year ago. You know, we had investors and we had theaters and we had tickets and we had stress. And I had this burden on my back that I think nearly killed me. But iBible is different. It's It's a gift to the world. God has called me to do it. There are probably better people than me that can pull this off, but let them join our team. Let us help us. It's really a gift back to the church. We're going to give a free, visual, interactive Bible for the world.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming down today. I really appreciate it.
That was great. Thanks.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's edifi.app.
Did you know you can access thousands of entertaining and inspiring faith and family-friendly TV shows, movies, and original series? It's simple. Just log on to pureflix.com right now to start your free trial. From kids' content to some of the most uplifting films, we've got your entire family covered. Sign up today.
And we're back with more of the PureFlix podcast. So you heard that commercial for Edify. Go and check it out, E-D-I-F-I. Head over into the App Store on your phone, download the app, and you'll be listening to your favorite Christian podcast, including this one, on the Edify app. Now, I'm excited to bring on David A.R. White. He is the co-founder of PureFlix. He's an actor, a producer. You know him very well. He's also the star of PureFlix's new series, Finding Love in Quarantine. And so we're going to talk about that series here. And we're also going to talk about one of the burning questions that people often have with PureFlix. They'll say, oh, wow, I love the messages. I love the films and movies. But why is it that not all of the actors on screen are Christian? Right? Why are some people not Christian who appear in the films and shows? And so David will be addressing that question as well. I think it's a great question. And so with no further ado, let's welcome David A.R. White to the show right now. Hey, David, how's it going today?
Billy, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. So Finding Love in Quarantine, we've had a chance to talk a bit about this. And I have to tell you, my wife and I really enjoyed it. It's a great show. There's really a cool storyline behind it. And I wanted to, I guess, start by asking you, where did that storyline come from? Like, what made you want to dive into this topic?
Well, it ended up, where did it come from? The idea first came in the way that we're all locked up in quarantine. And we had worked with some of these crew members before. And the thought was, hey, let's go in and do a movie in quarantine. We might as well. We're wasting away in our houses. And I just, Matt Shapiro is a director, one of the writers' directors. The more we started delving in, we just kind of wanted to deal with some of the issues at hand, what people go through in quarantine. You know, and then obviously this whole dating thing was floating out there. Like, what is it like to date in quarantine or find love in quarantine? And that's really kind of where it came out of. Tommy Blaze, Matt Shapira, and myself kind of all put our heads together. And this thing was very fluid, by the way. You know, we started saying, okay, we're going to do 8 episodes of this. And then later we'll make it into a feature. And Tommy, we need you to start writing right away because we're shooting in 2 weeks. And so we actually did not. This is one of the first movies that I've ever done where I did not know, and series where I did not know where my character was going or really backstory, because we would get episodes 1 and 1 and we would be prepping to shoot 1 and 2. And then 2 would come in like after the day after we shot 1. And it was just one of these very not fluid, but stressful in a way, as if the quarantine wasn't enough. And we were just kind of flying by the seat of our pants. We were just going.
Yeah. And I would imagine, obviously, in the midst of all of this, the lockdowns, the craziness, that filming looked a little bit different. So was that challenging? Was it fun? Like, how did that dynamic play out while you were putting this together?
It was interesting because it was stressful in one way. It was very stressful in the fact that you all of a sudden had a crew in my house. Right. So these outside people were coming in when everybody was saying, oh, no, quarantined, you know, people cannot come in. They should not even be in the same proximity of people. You know, it was very stressful in that way. Now everybody wore masks and we were, you know, social distanced as best as possible. There was that stress. But then there was also a freedom in the way that the world was like stopped. You know, normally production, the world keeps going, you know, 90 miles an hour. And you're just also in production. And so everything is, you know, happening. But it's like the world stopped in the middle of, allowed us to just shoot. Very interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you ended up, I mean, really with a fascinating cast. Eva LaRue, who's phenomenal, is in the series. What was it like working with her?
Yeah, I mean, we shot probably half of this movie before, you know, the other cast to come out, just me and Ocean, my daughter. And again, we didn't know exactly where this was going. But when it came time to go, okay, we need the other half of my love interest. I didn't even know who my love interest was going to be, you know, in shooting a lot of those scenes. It was just me and this computer, which kind of led to, you know, how they always say that life imitates art. I mean, this is kind of the way that quarantine is in a way. You don't know what they look like because you've been in your house for this whole time. You don't know who, or even who that person is in the movie. You know, the series is a joke because he doesn't even, you know, he thinks he's talking to, I think her name was Tina, but it's really Amber. You know, he thinks he's talking to a totally different person. And so when Eva came on, you know, we worked together a few years back on a movie called Dancer and the Dame and had a great time. And she had such a great energy on that. And we've been trying to get her. We've been playing. We've missed each other. And, you know, we've tried to get her several times in different things over the years. And it's just never worked out. But hey, quarantine, she wasn't busy during the quarantine. So it was the perfect time for her to come in. And
she's great.
She was wonderful.
She's amazing.
She was wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, she just won an Emmy Award too, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. She's just great. And the cast is great. You guys really, it flows. It's such a great storyline. What would you say? Because obviously it's really entertaining but to the real point of it, which is interesting, it's actually speaking to the things, like as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh yeah, I did that during the quarantine. Like there's things you relate to while you're watching it. And what would you say like the big takeaway for you is for viewers after they've watched?
I think that even in the midst of the changing times and the, you know, unrest that we don't know exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen, that it's okay to just kind of be comfortable in the free fall. The world is free falling in a lot of different ways. You know, you don't know when our kids are going back to school. We don't know if, you know, a lot of people didn't know whether they were going to have a job or not. Given the quarantine, a lot of people, you couldn't even get toilet paper or paper towels or like these weird things. And you felt in a way, you know, that my character goes through a lot of this is that he's free falling. And then of course he's mourning his past wife, you know, he still hasn't come to completion of that. And so he has a disconnect from his daughter. You know, I think in life, there's so many things that are thrown at us. And I guess the purpose of this film is that it brings us back to ultimately trust the Lord, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He will make them straight. And it's okay that right now, even if you feel like you're free falling, you know, God will catch you and he'll pick up those pieces and he'll put them back together.
I love that. And I think so many people right now, that's what they need to hear, because people are still, I mean, really struggling. This has been 4 or 5 months now of this kind of craziness for so many people. So this is it's an interesting series and film because it brings you into it and you can relate to it because everybody's been going through it. So, you know, I applaud you on that. I think you guys did a great, great job. But I do have a transition question here because I have a PureFlix question. This is something I encounter a lot. I hear this a lot, and it's a question from people in the audience. They'll say, you know, wow, you know, PureFlix is a Christian organization, and, you know, but why is it that some of your actors and your films and your shows aren't Christians, right? And so this, I see it really literally like once a week somebody asks this question, and they're genuinely curious. They want to understand why that is. So I was going to throw that question to you because I figured as one of the co-founders of PureFlix that you might have some good insight there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways. Obviously, you know, I've always felt like the Lord calls us to excellence in whatever it is that we do. So be excellent in that. And in the process of it, even when you're making these films or your television or you know, our SWOD shows, it's like we strive to do the best that we can with the best people that we can right where we're at. And, you know, when PureFlix, when it was created back in 2005 by three people who really didn't have any money to fund something, they went out believing, you know, that we were supposed to do this. And so we're going to just put one foot in front of the other and keep walking. And so the question is, okay, whether or not they have to be a Christian or not. And I think, no, I feel like God just has called us to try to be as excellent as we can in the midst of where we're at. And our ministry is in not just in front of the camera, right? For people who will watch a faith film, it's behind the camera as well for the crew, for the cast. You know, you never know. We've had so many actors on these films who have not been believers and who have never worked obviously on a Christian film before, but also who have never even worked with believers. They don't even know how to act around a Christian. And you know, and yeah, the different, it's interesting because like agents have called over the years to say, okay, so-and-so just wants to make sure that what are your rules and guidelines that they won't say anything that will offend, or they've never been around a Christian, so they don't know how to act, or what is there a thing about like drinking, or do they, I mean, just all these different random questions, how they're supposed to dress, and it's sweet actually that some of the actors actually care, you know,
that they would actually
makes people feel uncomfortable. Like I actually really love that when that comes up. And then you have all these other stories about, you know, some of our from crew members to cast members who have come to know the Lord through just working on this thing, or it established, you know, started that kernel of the seed. The Lord, you know, used whatever film it was that they were working on to then lead them to a relationship with the Lord. You know, it's different in so many different ways. I mean, there's a lot of stories, but I think this is an interesting one, is when Sybil Shepherd, you know, read Do You Believe for the first time, and all of a sudden she found herself just bawling through that. And she goes, I had to read it again. And, you know, she read it like four times. Most actors read something one time and they decide whether they're going to do it or not. She had to read the whole script, you know, paced from front cut to end cover four times before she was like, and she's like, and I couldn't stop crying every time I would read it. And so God says, my word will not come back void. And we have the blessing, and I'm so thankful for this, that we're able to put scripture in these movies. And sometimes that's the only scripture that these actors, that these crew members, that they have to hear these takes sometimes 10, 15, 20 times, you know, before a scene gets right, and they're hearing God's word. He says, my word will not come back void. Well, they're hearing it over and over and over and over again, whether they're the actor learning those lines that they never thought they would learn, or having to, you know, respond off on another actor, or it's just the sound guy or the grip person who has to be in the room when these lines are being said. And so they're witnessing, they're part of this movie, the making of it. So whether they're believers or not, really, I mean, this is a mission field. You know, my father always wanted me to become an evangelist. That was his life. That was his dream for me. And when I was 19, I called my dad, you know, after 1 year of Bible college, say, Dad, I'm going to leave Bible school. The first kid to ever leave out of an entire family. And I'm going to go to Hollywood. And it was a disappointment to him. But in a way, the Lord used it in a whole other way that my father saw, you know, toward the end of his life, is that that this is a different way to evangelize. This is a whole different way to minister.
Well, and it's amazing to me, thinking about a couple of things that you said, you know, just thinking about the fact that there are people who cared enough. I love that. I agree with you that, you know, they don't want to offend, so they're calling to check and make sure. I mean, that shows some good character on that end. I also think, you know, what you described is a dynamic in which PureFlix has a message and a mission, and that doesn't change. And people who want to come in and help tell that story, that's not going to change, a message again that stays consistent, they're welcome to come in, and they're hearing, you know, truth throughout that entire process. And so I think that's an amazing way to help people understand that, because it's a legitimate question, and I think it's an amazing response that you just offered. So thank you for that. It's really helpful.
I think people have to realize, you know, another side of it too, for all of our fans out there, for everybody who watches these movies, you know, A, thank you so much for watching them. But B, just know too, we're humans who are making them, you know, and God uses us broken people, just like in the Bible, he used so many broken people to do things that he wanted done. And, you know, we're not perfect in any way, the way that we make films, and it's not going to line up with everybody's beliefs system of how something should be made. Well, a Christian movie should have more scripture in it, or it should have more, you know, less. There should never be a glass of wine in it, or there should never be dancing, or there should never be, you know, all of these things that have come up over the years. Or I can't even believe that swimsuit. Yes, the girl was on the beach, but she was in a onesuit, but she should not have been in a bathing suit at all. You know, like, these questions come up, and we're just people on the other side of it doing our best to make something that's inspiring and also that honors the Lord as best as we can in an industry that there is no honor for the Lord. Mm.
So true. Well, listen, David, thank you so much. We are pushing people over to Finding Love in Quarantine, and I appreciate you answering that. We're going to have to have you back with more of these pressing questions, because we get a lot of interesting ones, and I love hearing, you know, your heart for it. And it's really a direct response to people who want to know more, because they're invested in PureFlix. They want to know more about why we do what we do. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
And that brings us to the end of today's PureFlix podcast. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the show. And be sure to head over to insider.pureflix.com for more daily inspiring content.
That's all for today's podcast. You can follow PureFlix on Facebook at facebook.com/PureFlix and on Twitter at PureFlix. And be sure to log on today to PureFlix.com for thousands of faith and family-friendly movies and TV shows. Thanks for listening to the PureFlix podcast.